Not looking quite as awake as yesterday morning. We missed some of you at breakfast, but all the dishwashers were very thankful you didn't show up. It worked out just fine. Yeah. Well, I hope the variety that's been there this weekend is something that everybody can at least relate to a part of this. I mean, even for those that aren't married and don't have a spouse, there's enough variety in God's family that, you know, we can all go home and realize that, or if we reach a point in life where one of our spouses has passed away, or if we don't have children, you know, because it happens in families where God doesn't give everyone children. Right now I have one grandchild and I'm still looking around at my family, and that's what happens in life. So, but what God has done for all of us is given us an opportunity to go home to our ecclesias. And really, that's what he's after in the end, is that the nuclear family is really just the beginning of it all. And what God wants. Because we were talking yesterday that some of us don't even have a good nuclear family. Some people don't have that. Or in our ecclesias today, we're finding people are coming in from the outside and they don't have the family that we were used to in the past. And so if that isn't part of your life, you don't have to feel like, well, you know, I got left out or I missed a key component. The key is that what God really wanted us to be able to do is get to the point where we could work in his ecclesias. And I really found personally that that's the bottom line of this whole subject, is that the ecclesia becomes the basis then of God's opportunity to let us practice these things so that he can prepare us for the kingdom age. And what you find, which is a big surprise in the Bible, is that the angels are in the scriptures showing us that this is what God's family have been doing all along. And I know as a person who got raised in a Sunday school and a Christadelphian family, I read the Bible for years without realizing how much was revealed about angels. And then you start looking at, well, why did God tell us so much about angels? It's because he's trying to tell us and let us see that the angels already do the very things that we are hoping to become. And there's enough reveal about angels to help us see how they work together, how they get along, how they deal with human people. And God's basically just keep reminding us that, look, if this is what angels do right now, and this is what we hope to become, then we have to read our Bibles, look at how angels behave, and in the end, we have to mimic their behavior. We have to become like them. I think probably the Bible passage that really shocked me the most was in Jude, of all places. If I don't know if you've ever looked at that reference in Jude, when Jude develops his argument about people in ecclesial life today who are misbehaving and they're not looking at authorities and they don't respect authorities and they're just in ecclesias, they're just coming in and acting like beasts. And Jude goes back to, of all places, the Archangel Michael, you know, of all places to develop an exhortation for how we behave today. And he says, look at, even Michael, the greatest, most powerful angel, when the Samaritans were there in Zechariah chapter 3, this whole incident we were just reading about in Ezra this week, and all these Samaritans were there, you know, opposing God's people, he calls it the body of Moses there. He said, what did the archangel do, who has all this power and authority? Did he respond in such a way that he yelled at the other person? You know, did he call them names, and did he do all those kind of things? No. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And if that's how angels behave, Jude says, that's how we should behave. You ever thought of that, of using angels as an example of how we behave today? And I really think in the end, when you look back at the rest of the Bible, that's what God's been trying to tell us all along, is that here's what my family does. Here's how they behave. Here's how they get along. And if you really want to be part of the family, you've got to act like them too. So what angels do is they're servants in God's family. That's what they do all the time. They're always out there. You know the passages, like Psalm 103, that they're his ministers. They do his will. They hearken to the voice of his word. This is how angels behave. In fact, in Psalm 103, when he actually says all that, the whole chapter is all about the mercy of God. And you wonder, like, why in the end does he end up with all of that stuff about angels? And it really, I think his argument is in the psalm that, look, if we hope to get the mercy of God, we have to be like these angels. This is what they do in God's family. This is how they became part of the family. And so we have to be like them, listening to his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word, and doing his will. That's what angels do. So you know the passages, Luke 20, how Jesus was arguing with the Sadducees and tried to point out to them that they didn't know really what the burning bush passage was all about. because he talks about those that are counted worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection of the dead. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. So we know that the nuclear families that we have today, the families that God has given us, they're just the practice time. They're the learning experience to become part of the new age. Because in the new age, those things won't exist anymore. They were just there like the law to try to train us to become part of a bigger thing. And we don't want to like so focus on those families that we think that that is the only focal point. The goal in the end is to get beyond that and realize that was the practice so that we can take those same ideas into our ecclesias and become servants in our ecclesias. And I'll tell you, if you've ever thought about going off into isolation, this subject is what really convinces you, and yet you cannot do that. How can you possibly practice to be a member of God's family? You know, by thinking I'm going to isolate myself from the community so I can have a pure life over here and my pure fellowship. You can't do that in this. This is all about a training ground, and it's like, you know, practicing for hockey and deciding, well, I'm going to leave the team and go practice by myself in my garage. How are you going to be a member of the team? Nobody's going to accept you. You're not really going to learn how to be a team player. So what if you can hit the ball or the puck really well and really accurate? If you don't know how to be a member of the team, what good are you? And that's what happens in isolation. It's not about purity. It's about becoming a servant in God's family. And what happens when we serve is the byproduct of that is we then purify ourselves. You know, it's backwards to think that it's going to happen the other way. So it's a great thing about our God is he's invited us to join his family like that and become equal to the angels. It really is a great hope. So you see that, you know, if we looked at in Ephesians 2, that God really is developing a family. His family already exists. It's already been there probably for a long, long time. And what he probably has been doing over many, many years is he's adding to his family. He just keeps adding on because this is what gives him glory. And I really, in my own personal feelings now, I don't really think the angels necessarily came from one creation. I got a feeling God's expanding his family and has been for a long time. And this is what he hopes to do in the future. We hope to be a part of the work of the angels and expand the family of God ourselves. So the great news is we've been invited to join by adoption, and this is our opportunity to be a part of that family, the whole family of God in heaven and on earth. So you'll notice in things like John 13, when Jesus is getting ready and he's going to leave the disciples, and you know, and you wonder like, what are the last kinds of things through John 12, 13, 14 that he wants to impress the disciples with before he goes through his crucifixion? One of the last things he leaves on record for them is that you must become a servant. You've got to serve one another. We're not going to lord it over each other. We're not going to worry about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom and who's going to have the highest positions. So when we go home to our families, you know, this is the example he's left on record for us, that if he, our Lord, had washed their feet, then certainly this is an example that we should do as he's done for them. And we need to go home to our families and find out as dads and husbands, what does our family need? What do they need? Not what do I want to do, but what do my kids need? What does my wife need? What does my ecclesia need? What jobs need to be done in the ecclesia? And we have to be willing and have the courage, you know, and have the confidence to go in there and say, all right, I'm willing to do those things. Even if it isn't what you want to do, you just find out where are the needs of the group. And we jump in and we do it. So that, you know, like you take a weekend like this, and I've watched people, you know, they walk around, they see, oh, there's a napkin on the floor over there, and some people will walk right by it, and other people will pick it up. And this is what God is looking for in our lives. Are we the kind of people who volunteer to just do whatever needs to be done? Or are we the kind of person who's just sitting, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Oh, I like that, so I'll do that. And that's where we draw our line. So we want to go home and become more useful in service in our ecclesias and our families. So really, now is our practice time. Your ecclesias and your families are the training ground. This is where you practice becoming like an angel. Angels already serve in God's family. That's why they're there. They serve, they do his will, they hearken to the voice of his word. So now we're just practicing in our families and in our ecclesias to find out if we can join God's family. And really, in the end, you come away from this convinced that God is the one who controls our families. He's in control of who's there. It really isn't my family. It's not my kids. It's not my ecclesia. And I think that's a good perspective to remind ourselves about every so often. They're God's children, and it's God's ecclesia. And what we do is we pray that God will include our children, His children, to become part of His. And it's not going to happen automatically. You can go through all the procedures in the end and think, well, I just do this, and all my kids are going to come in the truth. That isn't how it works. It's all about God's election. And so we pray, as Abraham did, we pray that God will use our children. And you look at Abraham praying that, oh, that Ishmael might live. And God says, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be Isaac. And we have to sometimes accept what God chooses at that point. But it's all about His choice, His election. And we want to make sure that we pray that God will choose those people and pray for them, that He will include our family members, our ecclesias, and part of His election. And really, He does provide the right members we need to develop our characters. I think it took me a long time as a parent to realize that. When I had an autistic daughter, and you know, she comes along and she's got epilepsy and she's seizuring all the time, and you wonder as a parent, you know, like, how did this happen? You know, why did this happen to me as a parent? And you start wondering, like, what are we supposed to learn from this? I don't think I ever went through the point where I was angry at God, you know, like, why did this happen to me? But it was more a case of like, what am I supposed to learn from this? And Sue and I used to talk about, well, what is this going to do to our family and to our lives? And what happens over time is you can look back and realize that, wow, look at how God brings the right things into our lives to work on aspects of our character that we can't fix and you might want to fix. Sometimes we don't even know it's a flaw, a character flaw. So He brings the right spouse. Our wives are the right ones. Our kids are the right ones. And as we got reminded in the passage about the body, that He brings the right members into our ecclesias in order for us to work on our characters. He's bringing all these people together in our lives. And only angels could do this. We could never orchestrate that and pick the right events to bring. But He can. And He sends His angels out to do this for us so that He can train us to be part of His family forever. And He's really just waiting to see if we can grow. And as we can learn, as Paul would say, to serve one another in love. Because that is the bottom line in the end, as Paul said to the Galatians, that the goal is that you don't bite and devour one another. The goal is that you learn to be a servant. You go home and do whatever needs to be done in the family and whatever needs to be done in the ecclesia. And really, in the end, I think after all the training God's offered us, our coach isn't going to accept excuses in the end. As you see in a lot of parables, you can't just make up excuses about, well, I couldn't do it for this reason, and I didn't have this, and you didn't give me that. It's God has given us what we need in order to train us to be part of His family. I've always been impressed at one of the examples with the angels, when you look at, you know, how patient and how kind and how compassionate angels are. Just as you're reading through the next time in Genesis 18 and 19, just read it from the perspective of, what if you were one of the three angels? What if your job had been to go down and you're supposed to go over there and tell Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child and you're going to announce the good news. And then you're also been given the job that, well, as part of that, when you're down there, go take care of Sodom and Gomorrah, because we've heard that it's pretty bad down there and you might have to go down there and wipe out the cities. And so those angels show up to Abraham and deliver the good news in Genesis 18. And then the three of them walk away and they talk to each other on the road and they say, what do you think? Should we tell Abraham what we're about to do? And you watch these angels having a discussion and they say, well, you know, Abraham, he's our friend. We got to go back. Somebody's got to go back and tell him. That must have been a really important point. Yeah, well, I can still see my nose because I have battery backup. But, oh, yeah. Is this Canada? Is that the power outages. I forgot. You guys actually have storms and things like that, don't you?
Yeah. Brownouts they used to have in California.
Yeah. Should I unplug the projector? Will that matter? Somebody want to blow on it and act like... Somebody's got to cool down the bulb right now. Yeah, that's right. Anyways, you know, I found it really impressive to watch how God gives us enough revealed about angels to show us how they behave. And He's trying to encourage us that this is how His family members act. You know, they're compassionate towards one another. We better go tell Abraham what we're going to do. And then Abraham talks with that angel in Genesis 18 and says, well, what if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? And the angel deals with them and says, all right, I'll save the city for that many. I'll save the city for that many. And then the two angels that go down to talk to Lot, the two of them go down there and say, you know, they're going to save Lot from the people of the city. And they blind those people. See, there's possibilities, just sort of like he's tempting us. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if that would matter. Maybe the fan would come on.
It's just
but
the bulb. So if it comes, yeah. The power goes on and off.
Yeah. But I don't think the bulb will come on even when the power comes on, will it? I think you'll have to actually physically turn it back on again. They're smarter now. Yeah. Anyway, the old ones, it's the manual switches. They weren't like that. But anyway, so you watch these angels go down to work with Lot. And suppose you had been given that job to go down there and save Lot. So that's your job. And you go down there and you save them from the people in the city and you blind those people and you get in and you give them all night. You say, Lot, we're going to destroy the city in the morning. So go collect everybody you can who wants to get out of here. And so you patiently wait for Lot. You spend all night at his house waiting for him to, you know, take care of this. And then in the morning you figure, okay, Lot, it's time to go. You know, what's the problem? You know, what are you doing sort of lingering around? You know, we're going to save you out of this. And you could imagine how what we would do as human people today, we go back to our families and to our kids, and we don't have the patience of angels. And angels are there. God's showing us that his family members are extremely compassionate. They're extremely patient and extremely merciful. And the angels wait and they wait and they wait for Lot. And finally, in the end, they don't go to Lot and say, what's your problem? I said it's time to go. Get out. You know, what part did you not understand about get out? And some of us, that's what we would do. And they don't act like that. See, just like Michael and with Jude, he'd say, that's not how God's family members behave. They go to Lot and say, Lot, we got to go. And they grab him by the hand. And you can just see these two angels grabbing the four of them by their hands, and they literally walk them out of Sodom. And then they get out that far in Genesis 19, and they say, go up in the hills, Lot. And Lot says, oh, come on, if you've done all this for me, you know, can I just like go over there, that little city Zoar over there, is that okay? You know, and the angels are like, all right, we'll grant you that too. We wouldn't do that. We'd be saying like, Lot, what's the problem? I said, get up in the hills. It's like, but see, that's God's showing us his family members are like that. That isn't how they behave with human people. That's not how they work in his family. And they're there to remind us, as people today, we're training to be like them.
It's a general power outage in the area.
I'm not sure. Oh. Okay. See, that's the hand of God. See, that's all right. See? Anyway, he's challenging us to see how much are we really ready to take. Oh, yes. Well, hopefully the cars will still start. And the cold lunch will still be there, right? And I guess the easels will still work for taking notes. You just better make sure you get into a group that's got good windows today. I don't know, that one downstairs over there in the corner, they're going to be pretty dark down there. Anyways, that's the kind of stuff that it's fun to watch about the angels, really. And you look at how they were willing to behave. And I think God's put them out there, really, as reminders to all of us. When you do the readings, watch how they behave. Watch how they act. When Daniel says, or when Gabriel shows up to Daniel and says, you know, I want to come and talk to you, but you know, I couldn't because the prince of Persia withstood me. So I asked Michael to help out. And Michael comes in and helps them. Angels don't sit there and say, "Well, I don't want to help. You know, I don't really think I should have to do that. Get somebody else." They're not like that. They're willing to get in and help each other out. And you see all these different cooperative things about angels, how they get along, how they serve, and their goal is for the good of the group and doing the will of God. And they're there to remind us that this is what we have to go home and do. This is what we have to do in our nuclear families. This is what we have to do in our ecclesias. So, you know, as Paul would have said, and somebody referenced already Philippians 2 this weekend, that's our goal is to have the mind in us that Christ had, that we're supposed to be like him because he showed us about service in ecclesial life and in family life. So Paul says, look, we don't do anything, in Philippians 2, you don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility we count others better than ourselves. Now, I don't think it means better in the sense that you don't look around and say, well, somebody else could be a better exhorter. Somebody else could be better at pastoral work. Somebody else could be better. It's not that it's necessarily better that way, but I really think what Paul's getting at is we consider them more important. And that's what Christ did for us. We weren't better than him, but the mind of Christ was that he considered others more important than himself. And he got his own selfish ambitions were lost in the good of the group. He gave himself in every way for us. And that's what we've been asked to do as members of God's family, to be like angels, to work in our families and our ecclesias, and give ourselves with that attitude of Christ of getting lost in service for the others. So what we do in God's family is we put whatever is needs of the ecclesia are there, whatever needs are there in our family, we put those first. And so, you know, as guys, we like to go home and have time to go out and play a little hockey. Or you like to go home and have some quiet time when you come home from work. And we have all these things we would like. But sometimes in families, you don't get that. You go home and find out, you know, wife's home. She's been there all day with the kids. Or she's just got home and she needs help at that point. And so you don't get that time. Sure, you like to sit in the driveway sometimes. We just like turn the music on, just have half an hour of peace. Or somebody said yesterday they stop at the pub on the way home. And you know, everybody would like to do that. But what we do in the end is we pre-practice service. And we find out, all right, by the grace of God and with his help, I can get out of the car, walk in the house, and help out where help is needed. And we do the exact same things in ecclesial life. We learn to put our own wills behind the will of doing God's work. And this is the practice time to do that. I really think that's, you know, of all the things when you go home next week, is that's what we have to really focus on, is learning to do what the needs of the family are. What do our children need? What does our spouse need? What does our ecclesia need? You have to examine all those needs and then realize, all right, I want to help out them. And you take one at a time. You just decide, I'm going to do better at this week. And we ask for God's help to do a better job. And yeah, it does involve a bit of self-sacrifice, but that's what God's servants do. So hopefully then we can have a look at how that works in our discussion groups. One of the ones I was going to mention about angels, I don't know if you've ever looked at the fact that, you know, here Jesus in his darkest time, and he goes up into the garden to pray, and he's going to look at the crucifixions in front of him, and he takes his best friends, Peter, James, and John. You know, and he said to, you know, Peter, James, can you watch with me, you know, while I pray? And he took his closest friends with him, his closest human friends, takes them up into the garden, and they fall asleep on him. And he comes back and says, what are you doing sleeping? You know, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour like that? And they couldn't do it. So what God did when Christ asked for help is God said, I can't, you know, I can't change the plan. But what he did is he sent an angel. Luke actually records the fact that an angel showed up and helped him. And that's what angels do. They do whatever is needed to help out at the time, and they're willing to serve in God's family. And really what we've been called to is to practice now to become part of the angels. And hopefully when you go home into our families and our ecclesias over this next week and beyond until Christ comes, we can have an opportunity to practice becoming like angels and serving in God's family. So, discussion time.